Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economics show entitled Money Matters. Before we begin, please be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of myself and my guests, and our opinions only, and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing, but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. You can order past shows or comment on our show by sending us an email at mark@moneymanagementradio.com or by visiting our website, moneymanagementradio.com. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. Welcome to the 206th show of Money Matters, our economic forum. Today's show, number 206, entitled Interest Rates Go Negative. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether we have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. Thanks for joining me today, broadcasting from our new studio in Nevada City, California, and of course on your community radio station, wherever you're listening to the show on. Thanks for joining me. Mark Cuniberti here again. Thank you. Thank you. Into the Money Matters mailbag. Send me an email at moneymatters@kvmr.org. Or at the program director at any station that you're listening to this on, and I answer each and every email sent to me, albeit maybe briefly, but I still answer. Most of this is in response to the website we offer, the newsletter that you can get au gratis, our way of thanking you for listening to your community radio station. MoneyMatters@kvmr.org is where you send your emails to me to ask things about the money, the economy, your money, and everything else. MoneyMatters@kvmr.org. So send me an email, let me know what you think of the show, or you have questions on the market, or what have you. Mark, I'm interested in the super dividend payers list of the Dream Portfolio. I attended a class you gave in 2013. How do I get it? Well, you email the program director at the station. And we'll get it to you that way. Super Dividend Payers List is a list I developed with high super dividend paying stocks. Dream Portfolio was kind of a consult in a box. Mark, I read your weekly article on money management in our local newspaper. Your work is very informative and valuable to the novice reader.
I recently started investing in some gold coins purchased from the U.S. Money Reserve. Do you feel this is a worthwhile pursuit to continue in the future? Any additional thoughts on investing in gold coins, pros and cons, would be appreciated. Thank you for your consideration. Well, I get a lot of questions, especially recently, about buying gold coins. You can shop the price of gold coins on the web. There are many websites that will give you the spot price and what they sell them for. And so if you're going to buy gold coins physically and go into a coin shop, then just check what they're selling for on the website and then bring that in to the coin dealer. Some coin dealers will have a fairly stiff markup on coins, and so you have to make sure that they're selling coins right around what you could buy coins on the internet for. 30, 40 bucks over spot right now for gold would probably be reasonable. I've paid as low as spot and as high as $100 over spot, so it just depends. Definitely shop it, and I would only buy generic coins. I would not buy any collectibles or old coins or anything like that. There's just too much of a premium in there. So if you buy them in person, of course, you have the records. If you buy them on the web, of course, then they have a record of it. Do you know of any accountants or tax advisors that are familiar with tax implications of overseas investments, including insurance, annuities, etc.? Up to now, I've always done my own tax returns, but it might be starting to get too complicated. I need some advice and someone to do the returns. Overseas investing, it's hard to find a CPA that can do the FATCA requirements for overseas accounts, but there are a lot of them out there, so you're just going to have to call around. Hello, Mark. Do you have a list of recommended IRA investments? Well, yeah, but I don't know your situation, so it's hard to discern what to buy for you, how much money you have. So there's no blanket observation I can make on that one. Dream Portfolio might be a good place to start. And basically, I think about 10, 15, 20, 25%, maybe 30% of your money should be in stocks, and that's it. The rest should be spread out in other places. Half of it should be in cash, savings accounts. That's safe. And into the news. NASDAQ closed at 5,008. It's only the third time it has ever finished above 5,000. Today, it is a little bit below 5,000. Remember, big round numbers like 5,000 are resistance points and support levels. So, during the dot-com boom and bust, it crawled over 5,000 and then dropped like a stone. So it hit 5,000, and now it's got to punch through there a few times. Right now it's at 4,980 as of Thursday, 12:13 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The highest it ever reached was 5,132, so we're a little bit below where it was, and now we're under 5,000 again, so we'll see. Now, I mentioned that once the Dow broke through 18,000, and stayed above it for a few days, it was probably on its way to the races again. It did do that, has stayed above 18,000, and now 18,000 is a resistance point. If it breaks down through 18,000 and stays down below, that would be a bad sign. Right now, we're above 18,000, and the green light appears to be on for stocks. Although has a slightly reddish tint, I'm a little cautious. Be careful. It's not looking like it's going to crash anytime soon, but nobody can tell you that, of course. Stock markets around the world have been crushing records lately. Many prominent stocks have been reaching new highs. Apple's close to a new high. A lot of these tech stocks are close to a new high. We've been in a tech stock boom. And so, biopharmaceutical boom. Those seem to be sectors that were hot. I don't know if they'll stay hot. Both of them ran pretty good. Like I say, I can show you 10 articles that'll convince you the stock market's going to crash. Then I can show you 10 articles that'll convince you the stock market's going to 19,000. So nobody really knows. Right now, all the warning signs are not flashing. Few are, but not many. So we might see a brief pullback, but right now it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And Greece is back in the news. I spoke to somebody today. They said, "You're going to talk about Greece again?" Well, Greece is on the forefront, among other things. Greece could need a third bailout when its current program expires in June, because markets are still not prepared to lend to Greece. They have a euro credit line, but they have been promised another 240 billion euros, which is $269 billion in aid from two rescue packages. They've received 269 billion from two rescue packages. They're online for a third, but they have to come up with some sort of plan. No mention of the fact that they've broken the two previous plans, but the bottom line here is the euro currency area does not want Greece to pull out of the euro. And Greece is basically, they elected a new liberal party by the name of Syriza, and he's basically said, we're not going to pay, you're going to have to restructure our debt again. And unlike a bank that would say, no, you've defaulted the last two times, the IMF, or the European Central Bank, excuse me, who controls the euro, doesn't want Greece to leave the euro and start their own currency. Because, one, if it does, everybody that holds Greek debt is going to be blanking hind blank, as they say. And if they leave the euro and default on the debt they owe in euros, then there are other countries that also owe a lot, like Italy and others, and they might decide to leave the currency block of the euro. So it's a standoff. Greece is threatening to leave. The European Central Bank says, you have to pay your debts. Greece says, I can't pay your debts. But Greece tells the IMF, the European Central Bank, I know you don't want us to leave. And so it's a standoff. But they did give them another loan until they come up with more promises, which they probably won't keep. I think Greece will eventually leave the euro, as will a few others, and the euro will survive, but in a different form than it is today. And Janet Yellen came out. They keep promising to raise interest rates. The latest meeting, she came out, and she said, we're going to be patient, and we're going to warn you way ahead of time. So I've always said that the Federal Reserve may raise interest rates a little bit, if any. I don't think they're going to raise them a lot, maybe a quarter of a point, not to look bad. But they're never going to be able to raise them a lot. It'll just crush all the debt that exists in the world. So they were going to do it in spring, and now it was June, and now she's kind of saying, well, maybe it's in the fall. So the bets are remaining that the latter part of 2015 is when she will start to raise rates. My call is that she either won't or will raise it a quarter of a percent, just not to look bad, as I mentioned previously. And then maybe they might get one or two interest rate increases in there, but there's no way they can return to normal. Normal is 5%, so they'll never get there. Bill Gross, the bond king of PIMCO, and now has moved on to another firm called Janus Capital, says that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates in June. Another analyst, David Rosenberg, says it may not happen until next year. Bill Gross, who knows a little bit about bonds and bond markets, he handled the largest bond fund in the world. He says that interest rates close to zero are threatening to create market bubbles as investors seek higher returns elsewhere, such as in the market and stocks and bonds, which is why the stock market is rising. The Dow is sitting around 2,000. The Dow is sitting around 18,127. So it is above the 18,000 level. Kind of flat today, up 30, not much moving. So we'll see what happens. Analysts differ on when the Fed will implement its first rate increase since 2006. As inflation slows, even as jobs growth picks up, traders, people who bet on these things, see a 17% chance the central bank will raise its main rate from a range of zero, what is today, to 2.25% in June. So it's only 17%. The rest think it will happen later. And elsewhere in the news, a stronger dollar is hurting job prospects. That's just out on Yahoo Finance. It's important that we understand what a stronger dollar means. And it's a difficult concept, to say the least. Stronger dollar means that you can buy more with your dollar here. But it also means that our companies that sell overseas have to charge more to foreigners. So your exports fall, what you sell overseas falls when your dollar gets stronger. And, of course, if you're a United States citizen and you travel overseas, a stronger dollar helps you when you travel. But what happens is, because corporations have to raise their price of their goods overseas, because if the dollar rises, the foreign currencies fall against it. So let's say a euro is $100 is 100 euros. And then the dollar strengthens against the euro. Now the Europeans need 110 euros to equal a dollar. So the price of whatever we're selling for a dollar rises to $1.10. So it makes things more expensive for those living in Euro land. So the corporations don't sell as much overseas because the price goes up. And basic economics tells you when prices of things rise, you sell less of it. And on the other side of the coin, the foreign companies like it when the dollar gets stronger because then they can sell more to us. We can buy more with a stronger dollar, so we buy more imports. So you get this sort of imbalance. We don't sell as much exports, but we can buy more imports. Well, that makes foreign corporations much happier. But then the American corporations don't sell as much, which is why this news article says a stronger dollar is hurting job prospects. As if corporations don't sell as much, we don't hire as many people. So U.S. corporations are complaining to Washington that the dollar is too strong and it's hurting sales. And indeed, some of the bigger companies like Caterpillar and the rest have posted flat earnings or falling earnings because their things cost more overseas. So the dollar is continuing to strengthen. I actually made a dollar short bet with a small bit of options. I bet the dollar would fall and the euro would rise. Now, that seems like a contrary trade to what everybody is betting, and indeed it is. Most people think the dollar will rise and the euro will continue to fall. In fact, everybody thinks that, which is why I bet the other way. Anytime everybody is on one side of the boat usually flips over and goes to the other side. Bottoms up, as they say. So far on that bet, I am wrong. The dollar is continuing up, even higher, and the euro is continuing down, even lower. So I'm down some option money on that. Not a lot, a little bit. But I have until January of 2016 to make that bet come due, and so we will see. But my guess is that, one, everybody thinks the dollar is going to strengthen even further and the euro will fall. If the dollar strengthens further, U.S. corporations will sell even less, so they're going to complain even more. So I think the Feds are going to have to weaken the U.S. dollar eventually. It's funny, if they raise interest rates, they're going to strengthen the dollar even more. When you increase interest rates, your currency strengthens even more. So it's another case that they will not be able to raise interest rates. So far, U.S. corporations are not getting their way, and the dollar is continuing to strengthen, which means that they will sell less of what they have. And so we will see what happens. See if my bet comes true or not. I don't know. So in any case, we'll see what happens on the currency wars. Dow was still flat. It's up 34 points, and oil is around $50. Boy, that oil fall kept everybody by surprise, didn't it? Sure took everybody with their eyes wide open. Nobody predicted that. Very few people predicted that. And I still think that there's going to be trouble in the bond markets, or you wouldn't tell it by bond prices. 38% of bonds are just IOUs, and 38% of those are taken out on energy. And when oil falls, that's good for you, but it's not good for the people that sell it. So the people that have borrowed money to pay for energy projects are suffering because they can't sell oil for a profit. And therefore, if they can't sell oil for a profit, they will default on some of their loans and their corporations will go belly up and more people will be unemployed. And that is happening now. Now, the fall in oil was rather dramatic. And so I think, you know, the longer we go with oil prices depressed, I think more oil companies are going to get into trouble. And the big ones will survive with lots of cash. The Exxons and Chevrons of the world will survive. The smaller oil companies that borrowed a lot of money to drill oil when it was at $100 a barrel are hurting. And the longer we go at $50, the more companies you're going to see start to flop. And I think it's only a matter of time before you start seeing bankruptcies in the oil industry. And you are going to see takeovers. I think you're going to see that. A lot of cash-rich oil companies are going to be buying the little guys when they hurt and buying them for a lot less money than they would when oil was at $100 a barrel. So we shall see. Right now we're awash in oil and demand is going up. We have a supply glut. There are tankers filled with oil just sitting, holding oil off the market. Full tankers sitting with millions of barrels of oil sitting offshore. Various companies, various countries just sitting there. You're tuned to KVMR FM in Nevada City for the live edition of Money Matters, or listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of KVMR's Economic Forum Money Matters on your community radio station at a later date. It's broadcasting live Thursday at noon Pacific Standard Time. My name's Mark. Thank you for joining me. An interesting thing is happening in the debt markets, and the debt markets are very important because they're the largest markets in the world. They're bigger than the stock markets. Debt markets is a feeding trough of business, and where they trade debt of all sorts, countries where they trade Greek debt and they trade oil companies' debt. An interesting thing is happening in the debt market. And it's called going negative. And it's kind of an odd thing that happens. Normally, on an investor level, you would never see debt going negative. But on the corporate level, on the country sovereign debt markets, we are seeing debt go negative. Now, what is going negative? What does that mean? Now, going negative is not a term that suggests you shed your clothes and romp through the jungle looking for wild boar to eat. That would be going naked. Going negative is when you loan someone money, and when they pay you back, they give you less than what you loan them. That is what we call a negative yield. So you give somebody $1,000 and they use it for 5 years and then they pay you back $900. So you don't get any interest and you lose money when you get money back. Now, why would anybody do that? Although it sounds like a raw deal and only for the galactically stupid, as Tom Cruise said in A Few Good Men. Many large institutions are doing just that. They're loaning out their money for negative yield. Loaning money in agreement for getting less than what they loaned back. It's called a negative yield, as I mentioned, and it's rare. But it's becoming not so rare as we speak. In the world of falling interest rates, of course, interest rates continue to go down and continue to go down. And when they reach zero, which where they are in many countries, we call that ZIRP, zero interest rate policy. People would think interest rates can't go any lower. Well, they can. They can go negative. And indeed, they are going negative in some areas. It's kind of an odd thing. Going negative on a loan would mean that you borrow $100 and you only have to pay back $90. Pretty good deal. If you wanted to spur the economy, the Federal Reserve could go negative on loans. They could tell the banks, you loan out $1,000 and investors only have to pay you $900. Well, you want to see an economy hum, you just do that. Would you borrow money if somebody said you only have to pay back 90% or 95%? Probably. I probably would. You'd probably spend that money. In the world of falling interest rates, where even our central bank, the Federal Reserve, has dropped interest rates to almost zero, you get next to nothing in a savings account. So many countries are now offering to borrow money at no interest and then repay less than the amount that they borrowed. Now, what's the thinking behind that? Why would you do that? Well, if you had a 50% chance of losing your money in every investment, and you needed to park cash, and you couldn't keep it in your home because you're a big investment firm and you can't keep $100 billion in a safe somewhere in the office, you'd have to bury it somewhere, and they can't bury it in the backyard. So what happens is they invest in the strongest companies and or the strongest countries for a negative yield. And the thinking is that interest rates won't rise anytime soon. And the economies of the world are rather volatile, if you haven't noticed. Stock market is volatile, and there are countries like Greece going belly up and others threatening to. Gold's going up and down and oil's dropping. So what do you invest millions and billions of dollars if you're an institution that has that much? Well, they're worried. They're worried investing in anything is risky. So they have so much cash, they're willing to give it to someone who's very strong and suffer a little bit of a hit when they get the money back just to make sure they don't lose it. With billions in manufactured cash from all that quantitative easing that we see, there's quantitative easing programs, money printing programs going on around the world. Central Bank is doing it. European Central Bank is doing it. Everybody's doing it. When they print up these trillions now, trillions of dollars of quantitative easing money, they give it to these financial institutions, and these institutions need to place that money somewhere. They need to put it somewhere. Now, when quantitative easing is undertaken, the central banks of the world print up money, and they go to large banking institutions or they go to countries, and they say, give me the debt that you can't sell. Give me the debt that is falling in value, and we'll take it off your hands. We'll buy this loser bet from your brother-in-law, although it's not really your brother-in-law. We'll buy this losing bet from you, and we'll give you full price for it. So a lot of the banks and big countries have packaged up multiple packages of debt, whether it be country debt, what we call sovereign debt, or toxic mortgages, which our banking institutions hold. Central banks print up the money and they give that money to either the countries like Greece, they give money for their debt or loan them money, and they give the monies to the banking system. Now, we're talking about a lot of money here. During the crisis, they gave close to $700 billion to the five largest banks in the United States in exchange for, among other things, mortgages that they could not sell on the open market. And the Federal Reserve, our central bank, still has those mortgages. But anyway, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, they all got a lot of cash for stuff they couldn't sell. And now they have to park the cash somewhere. We're talking about a lot of cash. Now, there are no savings accounts for these people. They have to buy debt. Safest debt to buy would be U.S. Treasuries. And if you think that the U.S. Treasury has a lot of debt out, that would be an understatement of the world. But some investors, large institutions, are going overseas with all this money or exist overseas, and they need massive hiding places to invest this money. Now, when I say hiding places, they're not hiding the money, but basically storage places to put this money. So what they're doing is they're going to very strong countries like Switzerland and Germany. And they're loaning it out at a negative yield. They're saying, we're going to give you money, and you got to give it back to me. And when you give it back to me, you don't have to give me back quite as much. Going negative. Another concern is why they do it, is loaning money to financially strong countries or institutions have no risk. So you will get hit on a little bit of your principal, but you will get your money back. Where if you invest in all some of the other things in the world, you may not get most of your money back. How prevalent are negative yields today, going negative? Well, 85 of the 346 securities listed in what is called the Bloomberg Eurozone Sovereign Bond Index. Sovereign bonds, debt from different countries. 85 of the 346 that are in that index have negative yields, according to Bloomberg. Germany, who is regarded as a very strong country, recently sold five-year notes at an average yield of minus 0.08%. That's a euro record. So they give the money to Germany. And in 2020, Germany pays back the money less 0.08%. So he got a hit going right into the contract. Odd as this is, it is becoming more and more popular. And with more quantitative easing being done right now by the European Central Bank, they're doing more of it. And China is doing more of it, and Japan has always been doing it. More money is flooding into the banking sectors and the sovereign sectors that needs to be placed. So more of this printed money is looking for a home. And they don't want to put it all in risky investments. So countries like Germany and Switzerland are offering to take that money in exchange for an IOU at a negative yield, which is mind-boggling, but it is becoming more and more prevalent. Now, the real issue is, you know, could we have interest rates negative here in the U.S.? Well, right now, the interest rates for U.S. Treasuries are 2.1, I think, for a 10-year note. So we're not there yet. In fact, Janet Yellen says they're going to raise interest rates. But we are seeing negative interest rates become more prevalent right now out of these strong countries. And the question is, what is this saying about the economies of the world? If these large investors thought that the stock markets of the world and the companies of the world would be safe bets, they would place that money there. But when investors are willing to give up part of their principal for safety, it is indicating that perhaps the economies of the world are not as stable or as safe as we are led to believe. The real issue is negative interest rates and our perceived safety of debt, at least of large investors, and the so-called recovery of our world economies may be suspect. We're accepting a guaranteed loss on principal as the most desired option. And when you buy one of these five-year notes, you're going to get back 0.08% less than what you put in, and that's 5 years from now. So think of that. So those of you thinking that interest rates will rise, because the Federal Reserve tells you they will rise, what the Federal Reserve says and what the markets are doing are going in the opposite direction. Interest rates are falling even more, going negative. Now, if the Fed does raise rates a little bit, and there are negative yields overseas, it's going to cause imbalances because one country is paying interest and another country is taking it from you. So it's part of the problem when you have massive amounts of money created from quantitative easing. It causes distortions in markets. I've always said that. Quantitative easing causes distortions. And people would say, well, what kind of distortions? Well, people loaning money for negative yield, that's a pretty blatant distortion, right? Why would anybody do that? Well, you wouldn't do it because you don't have enough money to stash away somewhere. You can put yours in a savings account. It's insured at $250,000 and go next door to another bank and insure that for $250,000 and put some in U.S. Treasuries. But, you know, you're not a large investor that has $100 billion under management. You know, they may invest a lot of that in the stock market, but they have cash that they have to bury. And they don't want to put it anywhere else. I guess the question would be, why are they buying German bonds when they can buy U.S. Treasuries? Well, you'd have to ask the lenders of that money why they don't come over and buy U.S. Treasuries at 2.1% for 10 years instead of going over to Switzerland and Germany and paying and getting a negative yield. Although monetary authorities everywhere assure us everything is fine and under control, the public debt markets where these negative yields are becoming the norm is telling us something quite different. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back. On the air with Money Matters? Well, maybe not. I think they left me.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, the tax man. April 15th is not quite upon us just yet, but it is heading our way for sure. So how many jobs do we lose when the U.S. dollar strengthens? As I said, when the U.S. dollar strengthens, we sell less exports. It's hard to
put a pin on when, you know, how much exports you lose when the dollar strengthens. But it is estimated that Bloomberg estimates that for every $1 billion in U.S. exports is lost, you lose about 5,800 jobs. That report out from the Commerce Department, which Bloomberg is reiterating. So as the dollar continues up, since you know the greenback right now is at its strongest level since 2003, we are losing export sales, and that is causing unemployment. Now, it's a broad-based unemployment where, you know, you might not attribute it to one sector or another, probably manufacturing and electronics, I would imagine, where we sell actual stuff. But the, you know, the bottom line of this is the dollar continues to go up higher and higher. And with the Feds threatening to raise interest rates, it's only going to strengthen the dollar more. That's why I suspect that the Feds know that this stronger dollar is hurting export sales. And it causes an imbalance between exports and imports. If we sell less exports because the dollar strengthens, we buy more imports. And it's the trade balance. We buy more than we sell. Obviously, if you had a business that bought more stuff than it sold, you wouldn't be in too good of a shape. And so that's not a real good direction for us to be, where we're buying more than we're selling. It's a balance of trade. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think the Federal Reserve is going to be under pressure from our corporations. We all know that corporations pretty much run Washington, at least we think they do. And so I think Washington is going to be seeing some pressure to weaken this dollar. But right now they're not doing anything about it. They're continuing to allow it to go up and up and up and up. And, of course, if they raise interest rates, it'll get even worse. Now, you're able to buy more things when your dollar strengthens. And, indeed, your gasoline bills have come down, right? They've come down quite a bit. And food prices are falling, not all food prices. You know, we talked earlier about the distortions that quantitative easing causes. And what it causes is distortions in prices. It causes some things to go up tremendously high, and other things want to follow the natural market direction of deflation or down. Keep in mind, we're still trying to purge the debt from the crisis, and the Feds have not allowed that debt to be purged. In fact, they are increasing more and more debt every day. Have you ever checked out the debt clock? You can Google it up. Just put in debt clock, and you'll see a website that shows the mounting debt by the second. Has a variety of windows there you can check out. They used to have the debt clock, I think, in New York City. I think where it was, Times Square. I don't know. But they're redoing it right now. It's interesting that if you look on a dollar bill, you see that the word note is written there. Now, when my brother-in-law borrows money from me, or I borrow money from my brother-in-law, I give him a note. Well, a Federal Reserve note is what's on your dollar. That's actually an IOU. And so you would wonder, well, I got this IOU from the Federal Reserve. What do I do with it? If I go to the Federal Reserve, what do I get for their IOU? Well, you used to be able to go in and grab a piece of silver or gold. They would give you a piece of silver or gold, which was thought to have some intangible value. In the old days, you would get a gold certificate or a silver certificate, had a dollar, and would say gold certificate or silver certificate, and you could go into the bank and they'd give you a piece of gold or silver for it. They'd give you something for it. It was a receipt. Well, they did away with that. Now it's just a note, but if you take the note to the Federal Reserve and said, I got this note from you, they'll say, yes. Well, a note is an obligation, according to the dictionary. Yes. Well, I'm cashing it in. Well, I'm sorry, sir. The only thing you're going to get back is another note. You're getting an IOU from an institution that has nothing but IOUs. When they print up a dollar, you may think that it just goes into the economy and nobody keeps track of it. But if you notice on the dollar, all the dollars, they have serial numbers on it. Now, I used to say when they printed up a dollar, there was a guy in Washington that would make a little tick mark and keep track of it. But they do keep track on how much they print. I guess the serial numbers would prove that to you. And when they print more than they take in, of course, we call that the deficit. And I think the proposed deficit was, what, $700 billion? Outstanding liabilities, I think, for the United States right now, running around, think, $17 trillion. It's going up probably by $1 trillion a year. A little-known fact is it took about 200-something years for the United States to run up the first $1 trillion in debt. Yeah. Took us about 200-something years to run up the first $1 trillion in debt. Of course, now we're running that yearly. We're running those $1 trillion deficits every year. So we've gone from $1 trillion in 1990 somewhere, from 1776 when we started the nation, 1990, somewhere in there. We borrowed $100 trillion more than we took in. Now, in the last, 25 years, we've ramped up from $1 trillion in deficits to $17.5 trillion in deficits. Talk about a compounding interest rate. Ouch. I mean, that is off the charts. But I look around in the cities and towns where I go, and it doesn't seem to bother anybody. Who was it said that deficits don't matter? Was it Dick Cheney who said that? Well, I'll tell that to Zimbabwe. You know, they had more debt than they knew what to do with. You have to realize printing money is not free money. You know, I mean, it may be free money to the people that print it and spend it, but it's not a solution. If printing money was a solution to economic problems, why do we still have economic problems? You know, I got the Wounded Warrior blanket. I think I donated $19, and they sent me a blanket. And then I sent them $19 a month for a year or so, a year and a half. And I was watching a commercial for the Wounded Warriors Project, which was, you know, good commercial, kind of heart-yanking. And I thought, here these guys are petitioning for $19 from me to take care of our veterans, okay, the people that fought for the freedom that we have. Now, I don't know what the annual budget of Wounded Warriors is. I have no idea of knowing. I suppose I could Google it up. But it's probably not a lot, especially if they're just looking for $19. I've always said you can tell a person's economic problems by how much money solves it. You know, a guy comes home and he says, you know, my economic problems are solved. I just got $100. Well, then you know his economic condition is probably on the lower part of the income strata. Or you might talk to your son and he'll say, you know what, my problems are solved. I got a $40 loan. Or Donald Trump, you know, he says, well, my problems are solved. I got a $5 billion loan. So depending on how much money solves your economic problems will give you an idea of how wealthy a person is. Well, $19 for the Wounded Warrior Project doesn't sound like a lot of money, and indeed $19 is not. But then I think back to the fact that the central bank of the world, our Federal Reserve, were forced to reveal where their bailout money went, and $700 billion went to the five largest banks, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Goldman, J.P. Morgan, and Bank of America. $700 billion. About 8% made it down to you, is what we estimate. 8% went to the people of the United States of all the bailout money, which is about $5 trillion. The other 90 or so percent went to the banking institutions. I'll let that sink in for a minute. So out of the $700 billion they gave to these largest banks, You think they could have given $1 billion of that to the wounded warriors to pay for soldiers that got their legs blown off? You know, there's something desperately wrong as I was watching this commercial thinking, what has gone wrong here? Where $700 billion to the five largest banks, it didn't stop there. That was just the $700 billion to give those five banks. And we're up to $5 trillion worth of quantitative easing somewhere in there. Quantitative easing and promised guaranteed loans or backstopping is around $5 trillion. So what is it? Where Wounded Warriors has to go out and petition on television programs for me to send them $19 to put arms back on American soldiers when they give three-quarters of a trillion to the banks. Something desperately wrong? Does your brain tell you that something is not right? Well, something is not right. I guess the question is, why do we allow this to continue? Why do we allow Wounded Warriors to petition for $19 when our banking buddies get trillions? Something to ponder. Well, don't just sit there. Write your congressman, congresswoman. Ask the question. Can't we take care of our own? You would think we could. That concludes this edition of Money Matters, your economic forum on your community radio station. This has been show number 206, Interest Rates Go Negative. I hope you've enjoyed the show and learned something today. Maybe gave you some reasons to ponder and reasons to write your representatives. Remember, you get the government you deserve. So let's make sure that we contact our representatives and keep writing, keep calling and asking, what are you doing with our money? That concludes today's show. I want to thank you for joining me. God bless all of you. Have a great day. And don't forget, if you'd like to send me an email, shoot it off to moneymatters@kvmr.org. My name's Mark. Thanks for joining me.
This has been another edition of Money Matters. Please be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of myself and my guests, and are opinions only, and may not represent those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. The information given on the show was obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing, but is not guaranteed. This show was pre-recorded at an earlier date, so the market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at the time of airing. You can order past shows or comment on our show by sending me an email at mark@moneymanagementradio.com. Money Matters is produced and recorded at the studios of KVMR FM 89.5 in Nevada City, California. You can visit our website at moneymanagementradio.com. Thanks for listening.